Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 1025 The Game on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day thus far. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. Willie D will be back with us tomorrow. The team is currently in the air, coming back from Vancouver after the tough loss last night to the Canucks. And they'll be at home Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be over at Pete and Terry's Tavern during the show on Thursday in preparation for their game Thursday night against Barry Trotz and company when the New York Islanders come to town. No stranger to the show. We've been talking to Kevin Allen for a very, very long time, and he now joins us. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
It's the first time in a long, long time I'm not introducing you as Kevin Allen from USA Today, so I'm sorry to on this show, we were like, oh, no, no. But we knew you would land on your feet. You're going to be just fine. Everything is going to work out. Just want to let you know that we've been thinking about you.
Well, I appreciate that. And, I'm sure I'll find something. I'm sort of kind of waiting it out. I'm doing some freelancing, obviously, right now. But I'm pretty confident that I'm going to have something shortly that will kind of keep me in the game. So we'll see. But I feel pretty good about it.
Good deal. I wanted to start with, yesterday was 2 weeks from the training deadline, and we've been trying to figure out, nobody wants to be in David Poyle's shoes, and he will join us Thursday on the program. We're over at the Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. But, the decisions that he's going to have to make, and there was a domino that took place yesterday in the Predators division with Minnesota and Pittsburgh, and that's the first kind of ball rolling down the hill, and my guess is we'll probably start seeing trades coming in here in the next 13 days or so. How do you think this trade deadline is going to work? Is it going to be active, not active, exciting, boring? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because I think the guys who will move, will be named players that everyone will kind of know the kind of impact they can have. Like, the Zucker trade yesterday was a real good example. I mean, this is a player, this is not a rental, this is a player that's going to be on the Penguins for a long time. But, with the amount of injuries they have with Guentzel out, he's going to add a legitimate scorer to a lineup that could win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that was a big-time trade for Rutherford, and really didn't give up the farm in order to get it. Like, sure, it can be a first-round pick, and those are difficult to give up. But I think the Penguins, who are ranked in the top 10 and both offense and defense, realize they have a real decent chance of winning it all. They're up there certainly with the top five or six teams in the league in terms of the ability to win it all. I think we're going to see other trades like that. I think the Boston Bruins, the Washington Capitals, the teams that are near the top, Tampa Bay Lightning, they're all going to be teams that I think they're going to make significant moves, moves that at least whenever you hear about it as a fan, you're going to go, oh, okay. That'll be it. Then I don't know that we'll see the volume of trades that we've seen in the past because I don't know that there are enough sellers. But I think we're going to see some significant deals.
So you kind of told things from the Pittsburgh perspective and what they're doing on that side of things. What did that tell you about what Minnesota's doing?
Well, I think Minnesota doesn't, to the Wild, don't believe in their chemistry. I think they think something is wrong there. And that's always a very scary time when you're – when you've got a roster that you look at it on paper and you think, boy, we should be decent. We should be pretty good. And you're not performing. Then you're starting to look at the intangibles. And I think they've decided that, they're going to have to shake it up a little bit. They're going to have to make some significant moves. And, I think at the end of the season, Bruce Boudreau certainly is vulnerable to lose his job. And I think you're going to see a pretty big shakeup. Bill Guerin is in his first year as general manager, and I think he wanted to take time to assess. And now that we're near the trade deadline, you can see the wheels starting to turn a little bit. And I think they feel like they're going to make other moves like that. They're going to bring in. You hear rumors that Dumba is going to be shipped out. Now he's a pretty quality defenseman and a little bit of a physical bite, but, you know, with a great offense, like, I think he could be moved out as well. So I think the Wild, we might see them move two or three players.
Hmm. Interesting. What do you think is going to be on David Poyle's plate? Will he be adding stuff to his plate or subtracting stuff from his plate, in your opinion?
Well, I think he's hoping he's going to add, but I think he's looking for a hockey trade. I don't see him being his first choice to be a rental player. And I did a column where I just put, you know, not guys that I heard that they were pursuing, but what I saw as a good fit. And when I look at the Predators, I think they've, you know, they traded P.K. Subban. They were happy to move out that salary because they felt, I think, a little hamstrung. You know, so I think they were okay with making that deal. But I think it's led to their defense not being as sharp as they would like it to be. I think Favreau is going to be a terrific player, but he's young. And you see the mistakes that happen in his game. So I thought a good fit for them would be Alec Martinez, a guy who's on the Kings, who has the time left on his contract, who's at a reasonable price at $4 million, and would sort of give the Predators a big four defense again and not having to count on Favreau to be absolutely ready right now. They could just sort of ease him into playing and playing a more prominent role as time went on. So I like that deal. Whether or not David is looking at that, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he is looking around the league for defensive help. And I think he'd like to make, obviously, a hockey trade regarding some of his forwards. But, you know, the guys that I think he would like to move are difficult to move. You know, obviously a guy like Kyle Turris hasn't lived up to expectations. I think they'd like to shuffle a little bit. But I think they probably believe as well that they're going to have to try to get into the playoffs with the lineup they have. With the, you know, unless they could pull off a trade to get defensive help. I don't think they can actually change their lineup too much. I think you're going to have to get in with the people you have there.
Speaking with hockey writer Kevin Allen on the line with us. So we've been talking, Kevin, a lot today about what head coach John Hines did last night in Vancouver. Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg took three shifts in the second period. Ryan Johansson took four shifts. Those three together, Matt Duchene just barely over 10 minutes of ice time last night. Forsberg just over 11 minutes of ice time. Ryan Johansson just over 11 minutes of ice time. And the numbers are saying, and John Hines has been very consistent. You earn your playing time, and Duchene has one goal in the last 12 games, and Forsberg has two goals in the last 10 games, and Ryan Johansson has two goals in the last 15 games. He has 5 points in the last 15 games. How do you think you handle? I mean, these are star players on your team that you need production out of, that have big contracts, guaranteed contracts. How do you go about that as a head coach trying to send a message?
Well, I think we just saw exactly how John Hines thinks that needs to be done. You know, he was brought in with the idea, obviously, that he was going to bring structure to the team. You know, there weren't many offensive-style coaches left in the NHL, but Peter Laviolette was one of them. You know, he liked to let the horses run a little bit. And I think Hines knew coming in, as often is the case, you sort of bring in a coach that's, you know, different than the coach that that is being removed. And in this case, I think Hines is different. And I think yesterday when he sends that kind of message, it's like a bombshell to the roster. I mean, there's no one safe. You know, everyone's got to, you know, toe the line. And I just said on another show yesterday, you know, I compare it to, you know, top offensive players. You know, it's sort of like the James Bond thing. They have the 00, the license to kill. Well, top players usually have the license to kind of play the way they play as long as they produce. But you just mentioned, you know, Matt Duchene hasn't produced and Peter Forsberg hasn't produced. Well, if you're not going to be productive, then you're going to have to play, you know, the right way. And I think what Hines is saying is you know, if you want to, you know, play a little bit differently, if you want to, you know, run up and down the ice, well, then you got to produce. And when you're not doing that, then you're going to play my way. And obviously they're not playing quite the way that he wanted them to play. And, you know, if you're someone on this team, I mean, the message is you know, boy, we've got to get it together, because if Matt Duchene is going to sit and Peter Forsberg is going to sit, well, then we're all going to be in trouble. So, you know, I don't have any problems with that. But one thing, if you're going to be able to do that, is you have to be a good communicator. I think Hines is, because, you know, if you can't go to the coach and talk about it, then those type of situations don't work out well. So, but I've known Hines for a while, and he is a good communicator. So I think those are the kind of things that can be talked about and sort of worked out. And, you know, it doesn't have to fester just because they sat out the better part of a period.
We're talking to Kevin Allen, longtime NHL hockey writer. He's with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And the thing that I have tried to figure out, and we have all tried to figure it out, David Poile has tried to figure it out, of you have all this talent on this team, and for whatever reason this season, it just hasn't worked. What you just hit on, of those superstar players that are signed to long-term deals, not being able to live up to that, at least at this point. With your years of experience of covering this league, is this an example of just how difficult it is to manage those types of players that have those big contracts?
Well, I mean, I think it speaks to how tricky it is to be a GM in the game today, you know, because it's very complicated. Because in today's game, players have expectations of long-term deals. You know, you want players to see your team as a destination where they treat players fairly well. You know what that means in today's game is, you know, lengthier contracts, good salaries, and so forth. And then, you know, if one of those guys doesn't produce, you're in trouble, because, you know, each team only has room for three or four, maybe five, you know, higher priced players. So if one of them isn't producing, now you're that's a real problem. But if multiple guys, which I think is the case in Nashville, now you've got real problems. So I think, you know, they're just trying to sort it out. And, you know, these are the hardest things to figure out, is why a player isn't producing. Is it, you know, isn't that you haven't found the right line mates? Is it the style of play? Is it, something that's outside the bounds of the arena? Is he having some difficulty? You know, you're always just trying to sort it all out, because obviously these players have produced in the past. And you're just trying to figure out, how you can get them back to the point where they were at before.
What do you think that the Predators should do with the goaltending position? Because UC Saros has played better since the coaching change. Pekka has shown signs, obviously didn't have a good one last night. In your opinion, do you think we're seeing the changing of the guard? I don't think they go out and trade, but I'm curious of your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I don't see them making a goaltending move, but I think it's an issue that will have to be addressed at the end of the season. You have to decide where Pekka Rinne is. I mean, he's been such a consistent goalie for a long time. There's loyalty. So it's just when a player gets to be his age, you know, you're forced to make a guess of whether it's just the beginning of the end or is this just a goaltending slump. I mean, goaltenders are a lot like major league pitchers, where, you know, there are very good pitchers, but you're never quite sure from year to year whether they'll win 20 or 15 or 17 or whatever. And, you know, oftentimes even good pitchers have kind of off years. So, you know, with Pekka Rinne, are you thinking, okay, well, you know, it's just not, or, you know, because of his age, okay, well, this is the beginning of the end. So they're going to have to sort of address that, but now's not the time that you're going to be able to do it. I don't think it's, not impossible, but it's unlikely to be able to make a goaltending deal at a trade deadline. Those are the kind of things that usually are done in the off season. And really, the only goalie that's drawing any interest around the league, and we don't even know whether he'll be available, is Robin Lehner in Chicago, and he's in the end of his contract. I know the Carolina Hurricanes would be interested if he's been made available, but if the Blackhawks are in it, they're certainly not going to deal him.
Kevin, appreciate the visit as always, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. See you later.
All right, that is Kevin Allen, been a hockey writer for a very, very long time. Antoine Roussel has been sent a message from the NHL on last night's slash of Yannick Weber. We'll tell you about that.
Ooh.
On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, the Columbus Blue Jackets fell in overtime last night at home. And they get bad news today. They had already put Seth Jones on IR. He just underwent successful surgery to repair his injured ankle and is expected to be out 8 to 10 weeks.
Ooh, that's tough for them. Real tough.
And that was coming from the game against Colorado over the weekend. I think it was Saturday. And I think he slid into the post, to the goal post. I think that's what I think I saw where he got injured. He slid into the goal post. I think that's right. I don't think it was the boards. But nonetheless, the Blue Jackets are currently in a wild card spot, the first wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. And right now they're going to be without their young superstar defenseman for that would be the rest of the regular season, right?
That's pretty much the rest of the season.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. I mean, that's – look, we've seen them overcome some things, but you look at them right now – and they're
I mean that would be that right
first
at
wild card spot.
If he came back at the I mean that's probably the end of the regular season.
Yeah. It's a tough blow for them.
Last night, a lot of you may have seen Antoine Roussel. Nobody likes Roussel. / Yannick Weber. Jared Tenorti took exception to it. Yeah. Those two.
Then got his stick thrown.
Jared Tenorti did what, you know, why he's been in the lineup. I mean, he's providing them a little pushback and a guy that's saying, hey, you're not going to do that. And yes, that's right. Roussel did grab his stick and throw it into the stands. And the guy in the front row caught it on the other side of the glass.
And then chugged a beer.
That
was awesome.
On the Jumbotron.
I respect that, man.
But Antoine Roussel of Vancouver was fined $5,000 today. That is the maximum that he could be fined under the CBA for slashing Yannick Weber last night. So I think, quite honestly, it should have been a little bit more. But if that's the maximum, then they sent the message.
Yeah, and you know, good on them for sending that message, because that's, you know, there's not a place for that. And Roussel, you made that noise earlier and had that reaction. I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way about Roussel, and you know, I'm glad that the NHL was able to come down on him for that. And I wonder if there, you know, I was a little surprised there wasn't any type of additional thing with the throwing of the stick. I feel like that's a danger to the fans for that.
You could certainly make that case, yeah. I know we laughed about it, like, oh,
what is going on?
Isn't that cute? Well, the sirens?
Yeah. Thought they were pulling in.
Well, I don't think they're stopping here, so. Yeah. are you nervous?
I mean, I was kind of like, they were loud.
You got something you need to say?
No, not that.
Chase, where are you going? Come here.
I got to go, guys.
Come here. Where are you going?
Wasn't that. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. You seem to get a little jumpy whenever you're here.
Well, it was more like
a police siren.
It was more like the reaction of a dog when you hear a siren.
Hey, where are they? Are they coming in here?
What's that?
Wait,
what's
that? Move out of the way. Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, whew. Why'd you go? Whew? Oh, they went on by.
Yeah.
Chase, are you sweating?
No, man, I'm good. You're the one talking about watching stuff on Reddit, so I don't know.
Hey, I'm the. You gotta play it cool.
You know,
gotta play it cool.
Just saying. What were we talking about? Roussel.
So what would you do? What is this team going to do? 13 days away. Honestly, what are you going to do? Because here is the interesting part that we've been talking about, whether it was with Kevin Allen, whether it was with Adam, or whether it was just our conversation. We've talked a lot about the guys that hold the most return are the guys that are not going to help you make your final push to get into a playoff spot, because those are the guys that are working. Those are the guys that are producing, as in Granlund. It is very clear, while he's set to become a UFA in the offseason, I think it would be extremely difficult to keep him. I mean, he's already making, what, 5.75, is that right?
Yep.
He's going to want to raise. I don't see that here. So he's a guy that you're going to lose. But yet he's producing, especially under John Hines. 7 of his 13 goals have come under the new head coach. He has shined under the new head coach. He is the guy that they thought they were trading for last February that they really haven't seen until now. So now they're getting the return on their investment. Okay, so you're going to trade him away, and you're probably going to lose him. You probably could get a decent haul for him at this point. Somebody is going to – you heard the teams, Kevin Allen say, Tampa and others. There's going to be teams that are going to be active. And a guy, a piece like that.
Right. Well, because you're in a position to.
So you get rid of that. Okay, Craig Smith is another guy you're going to identify. Well, guess what? Craig Smith is playing his you-know-what off.
Yeah.
Well, he plays with his hair on fire every night. He's just now getting rewarded with now the goals are starting to collect.
13?
He's at 13, and so he's getting there. He's getting to his magic number of 20. But he's a guy who's been playing hard all season. All season he's been playing hard. Okay? He's just now getting rewarded with the goals. Nick Bonino, all season, steady, rock, does everything.
He's
a smart
17?
Player. 17 goals. Yep. One behind Forsberg. Okay. Those are your three pieces that would probably get you the best haul. True?
Yes.
That's realistic of trade, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you do that. Well, you're still in the playoff picture. You're still trying to make a push. Those are not the problems.
Right.
Their playing time has increased because of their play. So what do?
You're basically saying if you trade one of those guys, it's not the end of the world, and that's – I think what David Poile is trying to weigh that, and you heard Kevin Allen use the phrase hockey trade. You know, I could see flipping somebody like a Craig Smith, somebody I don't want to see you traded, but you could upgrade the defense, you know, do something like that. That's a possibility. But if you trade all three of those guys or two out of the three, you're basically waving the white flag, in my opinion. You're saying that, you know what? We're going to get some assets that we can use to build for the future next year. And I don't think that would be considered we're blowing it up by any means, because these are guys, except for Bonino, that are on expiring contracts. But you're getting assets that you can use to build for the future. But that's not the now. And I don't think David Poile wants to do that, because he still – you know, feels like that this team has enough that they can battle and get into the playoffs and then see what happens. So that's the tough part. Now, if he can make a trade to make the team better but not get a rental or sell the farm to do that, then I think that's ultimately what he's going to end up doing. If you had to, and I reserve the right to change my mind, let me just go ahead and say this. But if you're asking me today what he does with somebody like Mikael Granlund, I say he doesn't trade him. I think he hangs on to him. And you can use him as an own rental, so to speak. Probably a guy you're not going to sign in the offseason, but you just hang on to him and see what happens with the playoff run. That's what I think today.
So you don't try to get anything in return?
For him, no. Hmm. Today. Could change here in the next few. I mean, if they go on a four-game losing streak, then yeah. Then you sell. That's what I think. But today, when you're still knocking on the door, you hang on to them.
All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Little AIC here bringing us back. Don't forget Sunday, NHL and NBC hosting Hockey Day in America. That'll be at Bridgestone Arena, celebrating hockey is for everyone. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can enter to win a USA Team USA jersey. Post a picture of your American pride to Twitter and tag at 1025 The Game using the hashtag USA Jersey. Winner will be announced on Sunday during the Nashville Predators pregame show. It'll be the Preds and the Blues. 5 o'clock puck drop. Pregame at 4. Also, you can skate at the rink on Broadway, which is there in the plaza at Bridgestone Arena, from 11 in the morning until 9 at night. And also, NBC will be broadcasting live all day from the plaza, starting at 11 a.m. Like I said, there'll be a triple header on NBC, and the Predators and Blues will be the final game of that. Now, Bill Barnwell
put out
some interesting things. We've been talking about it. This is going to be quite the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Should be a lot of quarterbacks.
Not just for the Titans.
No. Right. Not just for the hometown team, but around the league, there's going to be a lot of movement and a lot of movement that gets people's attention with names, especially at the quarterback position. So he put something out on ESPN.com.
Yes, and this thing is really cool. We're going to tweet this out from 102.5 The Game on Twitter because it's interactive of what he's done. That's obviously took a lot of time. So he has 8 star players that are the dominoes to fall that could trigger up to 144 different moves in the NFL. So there are different scenarios that you have to play through. And this is all Bill Barnwell putting this together, but it starts with Tom Brady. So he's going on the premise that Tom Brady leaves the New England Patriots.
Okay.
So let's say Tom Brady signs a 4-year, $110 million deal with the Chicago Bears, which is a team we haven't even linked to him.
No.
So he throws that out there. Okay. So that he goes through why he thinks that would work, 4-year deal, 35, you know, so goes through the whole contract. So then he, you know, it's a cause and effect thing. So Chicago then trades Leonard Ford to the Giants for a 6th-round pick. He has that worked in. The Patriots then trade a 3rd-round pick to the Panthers for Cam Newton. So Cam Newton goes to New England to become their quarterback.
Mm.
Here's one that connects to Titans fans. Marcus Mariota then signs a 2-year, $18 million deal with the Panthers. Matt Rhule, the new head coach there. So I guess he's saying Mariota comes in and is the stopgap between Cam Newton and what's next.
So he goes as the starter?
I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know about that. Teddy Bridgewater signs a 4-year, $120 million deal with? You want to take a guess?
L.A.?
Nope.
Indy.
Bingo. The Indianapolis Colts.
Mm.
How about that? Would you consider that an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett?
Yes.
By much?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
If you're giving Teddy Bridgewater $110 million, don't you think Indianapolis Colts are saying he's an upgrade from Brissett?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're saying he's a significant upgrade from Brissett.
The Bears trade Mitchell Trubisky to the Dolphins for Josh Rosen. And remember, we started this by saying they've signed Tom Brady. So Tom Brady is the starter. They then flip Trubisky, get Josh Rosen to come in and be the backup. So that's...
I don't know why you'd want Josh Rosen on your roster.
I don't either. But that's the scenario number one. Scenario number two.
The Dolphins will draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Right.
Obviously, they're linked to Tua.
Right.
So that's maybe start Trubisky, let Tua sit. Completely healthy?
He said, this is what he says, with the Trubisky era coming to a close in Chicago, the Bears decline his 5th-year option and free up much-needed cap space by trading him in a 7th-round pick to the Dolphins for a cheaper backup in Rosen, who joins his 3rd team in 3 years. Miami passes on a quarterback in the 2020 draft and evaluates Trubisky behind Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I don't see that
either. See that at all. No, I mean, not even close.
No, I think they definitely draft somebody.
You're going to draft. You have a top 5 pick, and you're going to pass this year on drafting your next quarterback in hopes that you can turn around Trubisky? Yeah, that's not happening.
I agree.
With Ryan Fitzpatrick? No. No chance.
Here's the next one. The Chargers signed Tom Brady to a 5-year, $180 million deal.
Sign who?
Tom Brady. This is, there. Like I said, these are the different scenarios, and they all start with Brady.
Oh, so he's just Tom Brady goes here.
Yes.
This is what happens. Tom Brady goes there. Okay,
right.
Now I'm following you.
It's the domino effect. In desperate need of both a reliable quarterback and a marquee player to sell tickets in their new stadium, the Chargers find both in one fell swoop by inking the greatest player in NFL history. Brady's deal crucially includes 3 guaranteed years, meaning that L.A. is committed to Brady's long-discussed plan to play until he is 35. Phillip Rivers then signs with Jacksonville on a 4-year, $100 million deal.
Don't see that.
The Jags then trade.
What do you do with? Okay.
The Jags then trade Nick Foles to the
Bucks?
Colts.
To the Colts.
In a salary dump. The Colts package their first round picks to trade up for Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen.
Taysom Hill signs a 2-year, $20 million offer sheet with
Saints.
No, offer sheet.
Oh.
The Las Vegas Raiders. Mm. New England gives Teddy Bridgewater a 3-year, $60 million deal.
I don't think New Orleans is not losing both. They're not losing both.
Well, you don't think so.
They have a 40-year-old quarterback.
Right.
They're not letting – they love them both. They're going to make a decision on one.
And by the way, this we're just doing the Brady stuff. There are other – you click on the other free agents and it gives you the scenarios with that. It's really cool. It's an interactive thing. So this is the last one for Brady. Tom Brady gets a 4-year, $160 million deal with the Colts. So now Brady's in the Titans division. He goes to Indy. The Patriots trade their first-round pick to the Lions for Matthew Stafford.
Now that's intriguing.
Very.
There is stuff out there that the Lions may be ready to move on.
Well,
from Stafford.
I kind of think they should consider
it. It's kind of run its course.
It has. I mean, when
you know what it is.
His best years were with Megatron, but trading a first round pick for him. I don't know about that. Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, but look what's their pick.
Well, true.
27th.
True.
26th.
It's better than the Titans because of winning. Teddy Bridgewater signs a 2-year, $60 million deal with the Chargers. The Jags trade with the Dolphins to move up and draft Justin Herbert. Go ahead.
Yep.
Have at it.
I'm not sold.
I love this line. The Eagles somehow acquire Nick Foles.
Of course. That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. The Saints sign Andy Dalton to a 1-year, $6 million deal.
Isn't Nick Foles kind of LeGarrette Blount of the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Like, LeGarrette Blount didn't work anywhere but the Patriots.
Yes.
I mean, I guess he had the 1 year in Tampa the first year, right after the Titans released him. He didn't make the roster. Tampa signed him, and he had a productive first year. But, I mean, where it really worked was every time he went back to New England, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would go to Pittsburgh and nothing. Then he would go to Detroit, nothing. Every time he came back to New England, he would tear it up. It's like you feel like Nick Foles will only work in Philadelphia. It doesn't work anywhere else.
Right. I know.
I don't know how you explain that, but it just feels that way.
It's either Andy Reid or Doug Peterson that has worked for him. And that's what it is. It's just weird. If you want to, we can continue this when we come back, and I'll give you the Phillip Rivers scenarios that he has. It's pretty fascinating.
It's an interesting discussion piece in February. No issues with that. And it's kind of neat how this is a different approach, different take.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in different spots and then
see what happens.
See the different dominoes. All right, we'll come back and wrap up Tuesday's show next. Wow, Elijah with a little Alice in Chains today is the theme. Hey, don't forget, Kroger and Dr. Pepper, they're going to be hosting Philip Forsberg at the Kroger on East Main Street in Hendersonville. That's tomorrow from 4 until 5 p.m. Come by and meet Philip. While you're there, pick up a delicious Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper, so nice to treat you. Jared and GM will also be on site broadcasting from 2 until 6 doing their show. So stop by and register to win a pair of Predators tickets to an upcoming home game. So once again, that's Kroger and Dr. Pepper tomorrow. Philip Forsberg will be there from 4 until 5, and that's the Kroger on East Main Street in Hendersonville. There you go. That sounds like a good day tomorrow.
Yeah.
You just heard Kentucky and Vanderbilt tonight, 6 o'clock tip at Memorial Gym. That'll be interesting. What'll be interesting is Kentucky is favored by 11, and I wonder what the ratio will be of Kentucky fans to Vanderbilt fans.
I'm thinking more of the blue mist.
Well, I mean, tell me, what's the ratio? What's percentages?
90-10.
It won't be 90-10.
I'm going to say 75-25.
I think it'll be probably more like 70-30, 75-25, somewhere in that range. It won't be 90-10.
That's what I think.
I would have said 70-30. That's kind of I kind of envision 8,000 Kentucky fans, 4,000 Vanderbilt fans. That's kind of what I think. Something like that.
I think that's accurate.
I've been to some crazy, crazy games over the years at Memorial between those two teams. Crazy atmospheres. Hot as all get out. No AC. Packed to the gills. Sometimes hard to breathe. It was so hot in there. But man, some great games over the years. We'll see how it plays out tonight. 94.9 Game 2 is where you can find that game.
Yeah.
All right, so back to Bill Barnwell.
Yeah, real quick before I get to the Phillip Rivers side of things, there are other free agency there are other players that you can click on that will, you know, give you the scenarios. One of those is Trent Williams, and a part of the domino effect of this, Bill Barnwell has Jack Conklin signing a 5-year, $70 million contract with the Dolphins. So I found that to be interesting, that Jack Conklin's name comes up in there in Chris Harris. And a part of the trickle-down effect with that is Logan Ryan doing a 3-year deal with the Jets. So two of the big free agents for the Titans.
You had Logan Ryan. He had Logan Ryan to the Jets?
To the Jets and Jack Conklin to the Dolphins.
Hmm.
So I find that to be interesting. So let's look at Phillip Rivers, the three scenarios that Bill Barnwell has for Phillip Rivers. The Tampa Bay Bucks give Phillip Rivers a 3-year, $90 million deal with an out. It warms my heart to see Rivers and Bruce Arians come together for one ride into the sunset. It's a great fit for both player and scheme, as both would throw the ball vertically every play if they could. This deal has minimal guaranteed money after 2020, freeing up the Bucks to pursue other quarterbacks in 2021 if it doesn't work out. As a result of that, Teddy Bridgewater signs a 3-year, $90 million deal with the Chargers. Baltimore then trades a 7th-round pick to L.A. for Tyrod Taylor. The Raiders use their draft capital to trade up for Tua Tagovailoa. Jameis Winston gets a 1-year, $9 million deal with Chicago.
Interesting.
While the Bears are publicly committed to Mitchell Trubisky, they need to bring in a quarterback who can compete for the starting job. Winston's market is totally uncertain. There might not be any team that thinks he's worth starter money, and if not, he might need to settle for a 1-year deal and a competition. Trubisky's backup, Chase Daniel, can return to Kansas City and sit behind Patrick Mahomes. And then the Packers add Joe Flacco to be their backup on a 1-year, $4 million deal.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, even as a backup, I don't know.
How far the mighty have fallen.
Mm-hmm. Scenario number two with Phillip Rivers. See what you think about this, because it affects the Titans. The Colts.
By the way, when's the last time Jameis Winston played in cold weather?
Well, I don't
like
know.
Like as his home?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Right? Ever?
That's a good call. Well, I don't know. The Colts give Phillip Rivers a 2-year, $60 million deal to be their starter. What do you think about that? So I've now laid out two scenarios that have Brady with the Colts or now Phillip Rivers with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Think that's interesting.
I've brought them up several times because why? They have weapons and they have a really good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very good coach. I wouldn't be surprised at all. If one of those scenarios played out.
Then Indy adds some help and signs Austin Hooper to a 4-year, $44 million deal. Rivers loves throwing to his tight ends, and with Eric Ebron hitting free agency, the Colts add a second tight end to work alongside Jack Doyle for their new quarterback. Hooper's career year likely priced him out of the cap-strapped Falcons. Ebron could end up as a replacement for Jimmy Graham in Green Bay. Now, here's an interesting one based off of all of this. The Vikings trade Kirk Cousins to the Chargers for a second-round pick in the final year of that contract. If you're the Chargers and you've already said you're starting over now because you're mutually agreeing to part ways.
I don't know why they would do that. That makes no sense. What do you want with Kirk Cousins for a year?
Yeah, I don't think so.
And give up a second round pick and take on that salary?
Right.
What do you I don't know what you're accomplishing.
And then he has this happen.
It's not like they're in a hey, we're going for it this year window.
Right. Because of that, he has this happening. Minnesota signs Teddy Bridgewater.
I feel like I could see that happening.
I could see him going back.
Yep.
It could happen. The Bills give Taysom Hill a 2-year, $20 million offer sheet. Remember, he's a free agent. Or restricted free agent. So they offer sheet him. I don't really see that happening.
Nope.
Then, the final one on this. This quarterback heads to New Orleans on a 3-year, $21 million deal. Marcus Mariota. I don't know about that. Quickly.
Why do you say that?
Well, to be the backup.
He's going to be a backup.
That could be a good fit for him, though. That actually could be a good fit.
Sean Payton, why not?
Depends on I guess he backs up Breeze for a year and then go from there. Because Taysom Hill gets offer sheeted, Bridgewater goes to Minnesota.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think New Orleans, I see no scenario where they're going to lose both. They will figure out how to have one of them back in the fold.
Right.
They know they can't keep both, but they'll keep one of them's going to be around. They love both.
Right.
But they know they can't keep both.
The final team for Rivers, the Panthers signed Phillip Rivers to a 3-year deal. The Chargers signed Mariota to a 1-year deal. Carolina trades Cam Newton to the Broncos for a 3rd-round pick. Jameis Winston signs a 4-year deal with the Dolphins. Tampa Bay gives Joe Flacco a 1-year deal to be a short-term starter. Don't see it. The Bucs trade up to draft Justin Herbert.
I don't see that one.
I don't either. But it's interesting. We'll tweet it out.
Yeah.
Bill Barnwell, check it out.
It is closing time. That'll do it for us today. You have a great rest of your Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.